We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So you can take that for what it's worth, but one other concern that some are having with TikTok is the effect it has on teenagers, not for spying, but in terms of mental health. And Dr. Judy Ho, our friend, joins us now, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, as she does every other Tuesday, to help us talk about mental health issues. And today we're talking about social media and teenagers. Good morning, Dr. Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. We're doing great over here. Luca says hi.
Hey, Luca. How are you? Somebody texted 2 weeks ago and said it was creepy the way I talked to you and your kid. Why the hell would somebody think that?
Why is that creepy?
I don't know. People are strange. You know that. You're a clinical neuropsychologist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that people, they just love to criticize. I feel like that's happening a lot. I don't know if that makes people feel better for themselves, but I do not think it's creepy at all. I think it's lovely that you want to say hi to Luca and want to involve him in the conversation.
Yeah, we're friends. He's a young man's exactly. In college now, right? How far along is he?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's about a year and a half. You guys are buddies.
Is he sleeping? You sound like you're talking kind of low.
No, he's not sleeping. He actually just woke up, but he's kind of still,
figuring
dazed.
It out.
Exactly.
I'm still figuring it out, and I'm wide awake. Let's talk about social media and teenagers. Somebody referring to it as digital fentanyl and suicide and eating disorders and so forth. What does the research show, Dr. Judy?
Well, TikTok is not the first social media platform to be scrutinized in this way, right? But it is an important issue just because we see that our teenagers are most vulnerable. So first, the research shows that for teen brains, they are not fully developed, especially in the executive function centers. And also their reward centers are more likely to get hijacked than even an adult's reward centers. But obviously,
Can I jump in for a second?
Executive function center. So that's your frontal lobe. It's a part of our brain that really makes us able to do all of these amazing human things that the rest of the animal kingdom can't quite get to, like planning ahead, executing to-do lists, solving complex problems, figuring out, a way to get to an outcome as quickly and as efficiently as possible, innovation. I mean, all of this is what our executive function centers are in charge of. And that part of your brain doesn't fully develop until you're in your mid-20s.
So cognitively, what would that look like, the difference between a teenager and someone in their mid-20s, 30s, what have you? Like the way they process.
Teenager,
go ahead, Dr. Judy.
Yeah. So for a teenager, they have more difficulty focusing on more complex tasks without direction. So if you give them a big project to do and you say, just do it, as an adult, you're going to be able to, use your experiences and your brain power to say, here's what I'm going to do to solve this problem. With teenagers, this is why they're in school, like learning that from their teachers, for example. Like, okay, here's a big project and here are the 5 steps you need to take to do them. So teenagers can't quite come up with their own innovative ways of solving a problem as well as adults. And also, the attention centers are linked to your executive function. And so the attention span of teenagers is generally less than the average adult. Whether or not that person has ADHD or not, as a teenager, your attention span is just not going to be as good, and you're not going to have as much impulse control. So with teenagers, if they think something, they feel something, they might act on it right away. Whereas as an adult, you're going to say, well, you know what? Would that be the best course of action here to raise my voice at my boss, even though I really want to do it? Okay, no, it wouldn't. So let me think about what I can do instead. You know, a teenager is more apt to just say, I don't care. And they'll just, you know, scream and do things that are more out of impulse, just based on what they feel, rather than saying, let me look ahead a little bit and think about what this would do, what's the consequence of it, and what can I do instead. So those are just some examples. And this is why the teenage brain is especially vulnerable, because it's not fully developed yet. And what we're finding in some of this research is that social media, not just TikTok, but, you know, to some degree, Twitter, certainly Facebook and also Instagram have been studied in this way as well, that they hijack the reward system of the teenage brain. So essentially, every time that you get a little notification on your phone, hey, someone responded to your message or someone liked your post, it's almost like the way that gambling and the activities of gambling and looking at a slot machine, it's the same kind of effect on your brain, where you start to get this huge dopamine and endorphin rush. And then you become really addicted to it, so that every time your phone chimes, you're staring at it. And if somebody's saying, don't look at your phone, you get irritable, you get angry. You're like, why not? I want to do it, because you're looking for that next dopamine hit. And so some researchers are concerned that this is paving the path towards other addictive behaviors like gambling, like possible alcohol and substance abuse.
What about the negative part of that? If you don't get the response you expected, do you feel, you know, sometimes I'll send out a tweet and I think, well, this should get some attention, and it gets no attention, and it's like, well, I guess I didn't like that. But yeah. I guess if you're sending I'm not talking about a picture yourself, I'm talking about a news story with a comment, but if somebody sends out a picture of themselves and it attracts negative comments or it doesn't get the praise that they expected, I could see where, especially for a teenager, that could be especially damaging.
Absolutely. And so what we've seen is that the rates of depression and anxiety among teens have skyrocketed. And between the years of 2004 and 2020, the rate of teen depression nearly doubled. And for teen girls, it was especially worse. So by 2019, 1 in 4 U.S. girls said that they experience clinical depression. And this is actually even before the onset of the pandemic. So it's not related to the stress and the social isolation of that. And also, we found that, you know, in platforms like TikTok, there has been potentially harmful content related to suicide, related to eating disorders, to teenagers within minutes of them creating an account. There's also, I'm sorry that Luca is trying to contribute so much.
That's
today.
Okay. He's got a lot to say.
I know.
Let me just tell people, if you download the Odyssey app, you can get the baby to adult translator, and you'll find out what Luca is saying right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think that this is also another concern of mine, is that TikTok has also been a source of misinformation. Now, obviously, there's some positives to TikTok. I have seen people put out good, informative mental health related content. But I also see that there are some people getting on there saying, hey, look, I have autism and here's why. And I will tell you that in my practice, Tommy, I have definitely seen my young patients come to me and say, well, I saw on TikTok this and I want you to evaluate me for autism because I have it. And most of the time they don't have it. But TikTok is telling them that they do, and then they're going around to their parents and teachers and saying that they have autism, and maybe even other children who actually have autism. Hey, I have autism. I'm just like you. And I think obviously you can see where that can go wrong in a number of places.
Not to mention when you talked about before that, you were talking about lost my train of thought there, Dr. Judy. Maybe you can see what's going wrong with my brain. No, you were talking about let's take a step back here. Tim, where were we talking? Here's what I want to say. Autism, yes. Attention deficit disorder, because you were talking about span of attention, and I would think sometimes, and there's a shortage of ADD medication in this country, sometimes there might be a rush to put kids on that when it's not really necessary.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're definitely seeing a trend where sometimes parents are saying we want our children to, obviously, again, make sense, do the best that they can in school, but also maybe in some ways, as they're saying, we need to get ahead And they're thinking that perhaps medication is the way to do so. But for young patients especially, really it's not that advisable to put them on medication unless their situation really is so untenable. And there's also behavioral strategies that work very well that you can try before using medication. There's a number of physical concerns that we have with children who are prescribed ADHD medication a little too soon, like it could hinder their development physically, they could lose their appetite, so then obviously little kids, they need to eat a lot to grow. I mean, there's a number of other issues that, you know, a lot of psychiatrists I know, definitely that's not their first choice to put a young child on ADHD medication. They'll say, hey, go work with a therapist, learn some behavioral strategies, and if you're really still doing so poorly, and we know that it's because of ADHD and not something else, like because depression and anxiety symptoms could also mimic ADHD symptoms, right? When people are depressed and anxious, they can also look like they're losing focus and motivation. So really, I know a lot of the psychiatrists I work with, it's kind of a last resort, especially for younger children.
I would see then where the diagnosis could get all compromised, confused, muddled, where the teenager is thinking, no, I got ADD. I'm not going to try to work through this, or I'm not going to look for what the real problem is. I'm not going to try to accept any treatment or whatever it is, any alternative, because I'm convinced now from TikTok that I do have ADD or whatever, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, they get into arguments with their parents. You just don't understand me. Like, I definitely have ADHD. Like, why aren't you helping me? So you can see that it can also lead to a lot of family conflict. And as you already mentioned, Tommy, it can lead them to maybe even give up in school. Well, I have ADHD. I'm never going to do well. Well, obviously, we know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. Some of the best and most notable minds have ADHD. They've just learned to manage it. It has nothing to do with intelligence, but it can definitely be a source of low self-esteem for people. Feeling different from your peers at an important time where you feel like you need to be connected to them and bonded to them and feel like you belong. And then also just carrying around this mentality that there's something, you know, horribly wrong with you. That's another thing that I think we're seeing sometimes on social media, where the stigma of mental illness is just perpetuating. Instead of saying, hey, this is a diagnosis I have, I'm managing it, and there's hope, and I can live a great life. Like, sometimes the information is so negative about mental health problems that you can see, well, if a teenager is trying to dissect it themselves, and remember we were talking about earlier, they don't have those executive functions quite yet. They don't know how to solve problems in quite the way that adults do. So, and when they're trying to make sense of this complex and sometimes very negative information, you can see how they can take that to the extreme and get really down on it. And one other thing about teenagers that I think is so important is that they don't understand time and the future the way that we do as adults. Like, as adults, we can say, okay, you know, looking forward to this, we're going to get past this difficult time. In a few months, things are going to be different. Teenagers, what they're experiencing in the moment, it's really hard for them to see past that. They can't say, well, this year has been so hard with, you know, peer relationships and bullying. They can't imagine that it can get better. And honestly, that is one of the risk factors for the higher risk of suicide among this age. Because if they are going through a particularly difficult time, they're not like adults where they can say, well, I think it's going to be better when I graduate high school, or I just need to hang in there 2-3 more months. You know, their presence and their present reality is kind of all they know. And when you try to talk to them in that future tense, they just don't grasp it the same exact way that adults do. And maybe we can remember when we were children, you know, young children, and our families are telling us, okay, you know, it's going to be really soon when it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, anything that we're looking forward to. It just feels like it's not going to come for a very long time, right? So it's kind of that idea of little time warp that a lot of teenagers have just because they can't really experience the future the same way that adults do.
Let me take a quick break here. We come back. When you say double the suicide rate between, I think you said 05 and 20, I don't know how you cannot make a direct correlation between that and social media. And I want to talk about the falsehoods, if you would, or the sanitized versions of life that we see on social media. I was having a conversation with this about this the other day, where it used to be people would look at the movies and tend to think that that was how real life was, when in fact it isn't. Then it was television. Now it seems like it's social media, where people put up sanitized versions of their life, where everything is great and hunky-dory and delicious and beautiful and this, when in fact we all know it's not, because that's not how life is. We'll talk about that when we return. We're talking to Dr. Judy Ho, our good friend, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, and her son, Luca, because we all love him. And we'll be back in a flash on WWL. 9:46, 14 till 10, back with Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Dr. Judy, when you said double the rate of, did you say suicide between 05 and 20 in teens? Did I get that right?
Yes. So double the rate of suicide attempts.
Attempts. It's hard not to equate that with, and I know as a scientist you can't just presume, but it's hard not to equate that with social media.
Yes, and not only are suicide rates in terms of attempts going up, more teenagers are also expressing that they think about suicide and taking their life, which, you know, is an important marker to obviously keep track of, because at some point that intent could turn into, well, you know what, I'm just going to try this. Also, the rates of depression have doubled. Anxiety has nearly doubled as well. And again, this is more impacting our teen girls, even more so than the boys. But it's also affecting our boys. And like you said, it is hard not to, you know, blame social media, although I'm sure that that's only one of several major risk factors. It is one of the major ones.
It's
like
got to be.
The timing.
But, and you're a scientist, and I know you don't presume things, but it's got to be, right? I mean... Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that is part of the problem. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of times we're thinking, well, social media has been obviously lots of great qualities about it as well. But our teens are spending so much time on social media, more so than the adults too, right? So they're also getting inundated with that information more than the average adult. And some of that can be really a downer. I know that you're about to talk about this, you know, all of this positive, my life is so wonderful. That actually is part of what's getting other people down, because when they look at these other people's highlight reels, they're saying, well, why is my life?
But it's not real. It's like a movie. It's like watching a TV program. That's not real life. People go to the bathroom in real life. They don't go to the movie in TV. And I'm not trying to be kind of gross here or anything, but it's true, right? I mean, that's
so true.
That's the way it is. It's sewage lift stations exist in life. They don't exist in movies, but they have to, because it's real life. And I just wonder, I see it two ways, Dr. Judy. I'll say my piece and I'll hear your response. It seems like adults are affected by this, but maybe because of brain development, they're better able to handle it in some cases. Teens are affected by it as well, but they aren't as well to handle it in most cases. But they see this stuff and they think that that's really that person's life. And maybe it makes the person posting it feel better because it gives them a little bit of escapism as well. But that's not real life, and you need to understand what it is you're looking at, right?
Exactly. And I think you're right. Adults can possibly have a little bit of that cognitive wherewithal to say, you know what, this looks really depressing as I'm looking at it, but I also know that this can't be somebody's real life. Although I think it does affect adults sometimes too, right? But especially with teenagers, you look at it and you say, well, why does my life not look that way? But like you said, highlight reels, they're like the trailers of a movie. You know, it's like the best moments from the movie. No one is posting generally. I mean, some people do, but most people don't post about, here's this problem that I had, or I spilled coffee on myself this morning before I went to work. Like, people are not posting those things, right? They're using the myriad of apps that are available to make their pictures and their videos look better and shinier. And people spend an hour to 2 hours on a post before they post it. You know, they're not even living their life. They're doing that. But when we look at that content, we respond to it in such a visceral way, it's just hard to control that negative response.
See, that's a great point that you made about the apps too, because not only is the information gone through a gatekeeper of what it is that they're sharing with you, like, for example, you'll never see anybody say, man, I think this shirt maybe looks short and fat, what do you think? You don't see any of that, right? But instead you have the app that trims the figure and makes it look great, and this and that and the other thing. And I wonder too, as I say this, if there are not some problems maybe with cognitive dissonance on the part of the poster, where they begin to wonder why what they're posting is not real life, and they have a little bit of problem there because, wait a minute, it looks good on social media, but it's not real. Why can't it be that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we also need to understand too that even for the poster, they have this feeling of imposter syndrome, right? They're posting this amazing thing about their life, but they know that they actually don't always feel that amazing. So sometimes for the poster, it can actually create risk for developing depression and anxiety and other kinds of symptoms that make them feel unwell.
So you got a young man there. I don't know, how old is he now?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. At some point, you're going to have to decide when to give him a phone, when to let him be exposed to social media. What do you think? And you're both a mom and a clinical neuropsychologist. How would you handle that? How do you plan on handling that? And what should parents do?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I don't know when I'm really going to allow him to be exposed to social media. I haven't made that decision yet, but I think I'm going to be holding off on that for as long as possible. I also think that I'm going to have to let him know that if he wants social media in my household, I'm going to have access to all of his passwords on his phone, everything, because, you know, they're under my roof and they need to still abide by those rules. And if he doesn't like those rules, then he doesn't need to have a smartphone. You know, I'm going to give him a phone because it's like for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. But if he wants a smartphone, I'm going to have to hold the line on. I need all of the passwords. I need the passwords to the phone, and I need the passwords to all of the apps that are on the phone.
So I'm saying you would suggest that for other parents as well?
You know, I think obviously for every family, you have to decide what's right for you. But I would say that if you want to have as much control as you possibly can as a parent, just to make sure they're not viewing harmful information, doing things that, you know, you're really concerned about, you do need to have some kind of boundaries that look like that. Maybe it's not every password. Maybe it's just certain passwords. Maybe you decide that, you know, you're only going to give your social media and your smartphone to your child on the weekends or when they're done with homework, right? But there has to be some structure. I would never say to a parent that there's a one specific rule, but there absolutely needs to be structure. There can't be a free-for-all because really they're not at the age that they can make those decisions for themselves in a completely wise way consistently. And it is your job as the parent to protect them from themselves up until a certain age.
We only have 30 seconds left, but you know, they talk about limiting time on TikTok. To me, that's kind of like limiting exposure to radiation. It's still not good because the same stuff exists. You're just getting less of it. Is that a practical solution, time limits?
Yeah, I think that is a practical solution only because there isn't a better solution for some people. Mm-hmm. Like instead of completely eliminating it because it might not be possible, just saying, look, you can have an hour a day, 30 minutes a day. And as they get older, really explaining why you're doing that, not just because you're trying to make them miserable, but you're trying to protect them. You want the best for them.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. Appreciate your time as always. See you, Luca.
Yeah, Luca says bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, 954. We'll see what Newell Norman's got planned for you today when we come back here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.